Hi, I'm Sarah.
And I'm Megan.
We're two moms with 8 kids between us, from little to grown.
We're in different areas of the country and in different stages of life.
But we both know that motherhood's a lot easier when real moms share tips and encouragement.
And remind you that it's really all going to be okay.
We're not experts. We're parents who've been there.
We're not perfect. We're real. Welcome to the Mom Hour.
Hey, everyone, and welcome to the Mom Hour. I am Sarah Powers, and I'm here with Megan Francis on a Sunday.
Oh,
you know what that means, Megan?
More Than Moms are back. It's been so long since we have done a More Than Mom episode. What, like March?
Yeah, I looked back and I've been saying we took the summer off. And those of you who listen regularly, you know, we did a special series in the spring called Pandemic Perspectives. And we've done some other special things over the last few months, but I was thinking we just took the summer off of More Than Mom episodes, but it has been officially 6 months, like exactly, I think.
That is incredible. So yeah, if March 15th was the last one, that basically means that right when like everything shut down because of COVID, we just stopped. Like we're like, we can't bring ourselves to get on the mic one more time a week. Sorry, guys, you're just going to have to wait.
It was survival mode. And then I think that Pandemic Perspective series, which I loved and I'm really glad we did, it felt like something we wanted and needed to do. And that those were on Sundays, I think, for about 8 weeks there in the intense part of the spring. And then it was summer and our recording schedule is kind of hard to manage. Everything's harder in pandemic 2020. It just is.
It sure is. Yeah.
I don't think that means anything is better or over, but maybe we've just gotten kind of used to this life now, and we need a little More Than Mom back in our life.
New normal. And I love More Than Moms. These are some of my favorites to record with you. And we hear from a lot of people that they just love us chatting about, you know, whatever, fluffy topics. Things are a little non-parenting related sometimes that just have to do with our lives as moms, but not necessarily our mom life, if that makes sense. Totally. And I love this topic because it's so on track for what we're, you know, even just talking about the fact that we're doing this again, and that is COVID made us do it. So we're going to talk about, I love this, all like the silly, weird, unusual, out of character things that have happened over the past 6+ months while we've been dealing with this global pandemic and how it's changed our lives, maybe sometimes for the better, often for the weirder. So I'm really looking forward. I think this will be like a lot of fun kind of random things that we'll talk about today.
I'm excited too. And I think everybody can relate. Like you find yourself ordering things online you never thought you'd order online. You find yourself like learning to do things that you never thought you'd have to do. And it's, we're laughing and it's, you know, a lot of it is silly, but a lot of it's kind of like, these are fundamental shifts that we've made. And so I do think it's nice to kind of reflect and look back on them, and we're going to have a lot of fun. So excited to be back for More Than Moms. And then if you are newer to this series, it's roughly every other Sunday that you'll get a More Than Mom right here in your feed. And so the one coming up in a couple weeks is going to be a fun one. It's going to be an Ask Us Anything, which is like our listener questions episode in that you can call in or write in your questions for us. Only we want them to have nothing to do with parenting. So this is not parenting advice. This is Ask Megan and Sarah Anything. And we've never really done that.
No, we haven't.
So it'll be really fun. We'll link in the show notes if you want to record your voice. We love that. If you just want to email us a question, that's fine too. We're hello@themomhour.com. You can really ask us anything about, you know, our partnership, our friendship, the show, behind the scenes on the podcast, something more personal. You can ask as personal as you want. I guess if it feels too personal, we may not answer it on the show, but we certainly won't. We won't blame you for asking. Like, you really can ask us anything. And then I guess it's up to us what we decide to answer on the show. So I'm really excited. Definitely get those questions in, and we'll record that coming up in a couple of weeks. And that'll be a fun one.
Really looking forward to that. Well, let's take a quick break and then we will come back and jump into all the things COVID has made us do.
We are welcoming a new sponsor, and it is a perfect one for today, Megan, because we've been talking about all the ways 2020 has changed our habits. I know for me, I really seek comfort, like physical comfort these days more than ever before. And our sponsor, Vionic, makes the most supportive shoes ever. They are perfect for busy moms who love cute shoes, but don't want to sacrifice support or comfort.
I love this because we're heading into fall here in Michigan, and I know my work life is going to look so different this year, but like, I still need shoes on my feet and I want them to be cute. I got the Bethany Booty from Vionic and I love them. They are sleek and minimalist and totally waterproof, which is great heading into a rainy fall. And they're also insanely comfortable and supportive. So I had Jenna, my sister-in-law, try them on too, as she's basically lived in sandals and sneakers over the past 6 months. And now she has to return to professional shoes for teaching. She was in love with them too. So if you get a teacher to give them the thumbs up, I think we're onto something.
I agree. And I actually have foot issues that run in my family on both sides. So as I get older, I really see and feel the importance of a supportive shoe. Vionic shoes deliver what they call three-zone comfort. So zone one is a deeper heel cup for stability. Zone two is arch support. And zone three is cushioning for the ball of your foot, which is where I have all of my issues. So I am all about these zones, Megan.
I love it. And it's amazing that they've incorporated that structure and support into so many styles. So you tried out some cute casual sneakers, Sarah, and I went more of the stylish boots and work shoe route, but they also have sandals, flats, and more. And we've got a great deal for our listeners. Get free shipping through December 31st, 2020 when you use the code THEMOMHOUR at vionicshoes.com. And Vionic lets you return shoes for a full refund within 30 days if you're not satisfied, even if you've worn them outside. That is a great deal. Again, use the code THEMOMHOUR at Vionic Shoes. That's V-I-O-N-I-C shoes.com. And you'll get free shipping through December 31st, 2020. Okay, Sarah, we are officially back to school and the temps are back to fall here in Michigan. So I am feeling ready to get my autumn meal planning off the ground. This is one of my very favorite times of year to be domestic and focus on feeding my family well. So I'm really excited to kick off the fall food frenzy with our sponsor, Prep Dish.
I love it. Prep Dish makes it so easy to get in the meal planning spirit too, because the founder, Allison, provides an entire week's menu along with a shopping list on Fridays before the weekend. Then you can do all the prep at once and you've got four dinners, a salad, a breakfast, a snack, and a dessert ready to pull out of the fridge anytime during the week, which is so helpful for keeping the menu on track even when you're a little tired or your evening goes off the rails.
Yeah, and that happens to me at least once a week. So it's great to have that fail safe with a meal ready to go. Prep Dish also makes it really easy to try new dishes without having to do a lot of mental labor. And Sarah, you know how both you and I like to surprise the kids with breakfast for dinner sometimes? I love the breakfast meals in Allison's meal plan, and I was just thinking about how the mashed acorn squash with poached eggs and avocado slices would be great to serve for dinner or on a weekend brunch. It really gives you that flexibility in your meal planning while making sure you have everything ready to go.
When you sign up for your free 2-week trial for Prep Dish, you'll get to choose from gluten-free, paleo, and super fast meal plans. And since you're doing the shopping yourself, it's really easy to swap out ingredients for your pickier kids or like double the recipes for your growing teenagers. To get your free 2-week trial, go to prepdish.com/themomhour to sign up. Again, that's prepdish.com/themomhour for your first 2 weeks free.
Okay, Sarah, so I know we both have a list of things that COVID has made us do over the past 6 months, but I'm going to kick it off with you first. I want you to go first and name one of your COVID made me do it things.
Okay. COVID made me do it. I now play Tetris on my phone like regularly to just zone out and wind down. And I have never been a phone gamer or any kind of a gamer. Now, if you are like, if you're a Candy Crush person or like you love those games, I have like zero judgment because there's plenty of things I do on my phone that are mindless and time wasting. So this is not like a high horse thing. That's never been the thing that I gravitate to. If anything, I scroll Instagram or I start shopping on my phone or I like read the headlines. And so it's funny that it's not the phone usage that COVID made me do, but something about a video game. It was, I don't remember why. And this was like mid COVID. This was probably like 3 months in. We were still in our old house. So it was before we moved. And I felt like I just needed something for my brain to both focus on, but that was completely like different than all the other thoughts swirling around in my brain. And I think the kids and I were getting to talk about older video games or like Game Boys or back in the day. And I always loved Tetris. That was like one of like the few little games like that that I liked. And I was like, I wonder what the iPhone Tetris, like what's available. And I just like looked it up, downloaded it. And I think for the first few days, I played it kind of a lot. Like, really, I mean, those games are designed to, you know, make you want to keep going. And then I took it off. I was like, this is ridiculous. I don't play video games on my phone. And then I put it back on. And now it's like I would say it's a reasonable amount. Like a few times a week, I get on for like 20 minutes or something. And I actually think it's good for my mental health. I know that's weird and video games can be addictive, but compared to the other ways that my phone or the internet sucks me in, this actually feels like a departure and something completely like working a jigsaw puzzle or something like that. I think it has that same, fires those same neurons, but probably in a more like addictive way. So there you go. COVID made me play Tetris on my phone.
I love this one. I actually went through, I'm also not that kind of person, by the way. I do not play games on my phone and never have been that person. But I went through a Candy Crush phase a few years ago. And the reason I stopped was I could not get past level 45. Like I was on level 45 for like a month. And finally, it was so demoralizing. Like I don't know how it is in Tetris, but with Candy Crush, you'd have to beg your friends for like tickets to keep playing.
Yeah, I do. And, I remember that. No, Tetris, the way I play, I don't have to do that.
Well, and it would be like kind of humiliating because we're like 1 o'clock in the morning and I'm still playing it, trying to get past this level. And I'm asking people I barely know for tickets. And I finally was like, I can't do this anymore. So I stopped. But I have no judgment. And I haven't gone back and played any other games like that since. So it was just a one and done.
It's a one and done. Can I tell you something really embarrassing? It's like similar to asking for tokens in the middle of the night. But I beat my high score recently and it was quite impressive. And this screen flashed up that told me I was the 9th best Tetris player in Santa Barbara.
Oh my gosh.
That's probably not true, but it was like for if you're like in that competitive headspace, I was like, I took a screenshot of it and it was like, this is all super embarrassing. It's like, that's what it said.
Were you proud of yourself or like a little disturbed?
I think I was more disturbed actually. Like I don't want Tetris to know that I am one of a few people in Santa Barbara who, and it's probably not even true. They probably just tell me that to get me to play more. I don't know.
Huh.
But it's free. I do watch ads to get there, but oh my gosh, I feel gross now. Okay.
So funny.
So it's your turn.
Okay. So this is a really silly one that's more recent. I got my first legit tan.
So, like from the sun,
from
not
the
a tanning
sun.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
I don't even know if that's happening right now.
Yeah.
So I'm, you know, pretty ginger and I'm fair. And I'm very freckly. Like my arms are really almost like one big, you know, freckle now. So my arms have looked like they've had color for years, but I don't tan. I don't try to tan. Like it just doesn't happen for me. Even in a summer where we're really active and outside a lot, I would say for the most part, I'm indoors during like the peak sun hours or for whatever reason, I'm just not. So this is kind of a mix. This is kind of two things happening at once. One is COVID made me do it because there's not much else to do for like entertainment. We spent a lot of time at the beach and sitting out by the pool. And then the pool, of course, is the other thing. But I think just because I wasn't like driving around doing stuff during the day so much and I was just home, I'm tan. Like I have a real legit tan on my legs. Even my legs, like my legs never get tan. I've always joked they don't get any color at all. It's almost like the lower half of my body. I could just lay it in the sun and like nothing happens. Mm-hmm. But I wear sunscreen really religiously, but I have a tan and it looks pretty good on me. It's weird.
Oh, I bet you're very sun-kissed and strawberry blonde. I love it.
Yes, I am.
To get a tan, you kind of have to have like little exposure over time, right?
Right.
I mean,
yes.
Especially for those of us who are fair.
Yeah.
I'm not as fair as you are, but I am on the fairer side. Like one exposure is just going to be a burn, at least for
me.
It
has
to
be like a little bit at a time, like daily, daily, daily. And I think that's what it was. I was so well, and it also was a very nice summer. So that I think also there wasn't a lot of rain and there was just a lot of opportunities to be outside and walking and running and pooling and beaching. And so I got a tan. There I am.
Well, isn't vitamin D also good for like mental health and other things too?
It is.
So I would say this is a health choice for you.
I hope so. I'm not sure dermatologists would see it that way, but I will say that in this area of the state, people's vitamin D is chronically low. So that I feel good about that part of it. Yeah.
Good. I love it. Well, on the other end of the health spectrum, I am going to admit, and I have alluded to this recently, but COVID made me into someone who has large amounts of processed food in my garage freezer at all times. And I mean, like, well, we just started going back to Costco again after 6 months of not because, well, we moved. And also I love hate Costco. Like I love some of the deals I can get, but I really don't like going. And it was really complicated in the early days of masking and all that. So we started going again, but even before we started going to Costco, just my standards about what kind of food is like treat food for the kids versus what's in the normal rotation have just tanked. And I'm just giving myself really a pass on this. This is not, I'm like not beating myself up about it. And if you're someone who always has this stuff in your freezer, again, like I, it's not, there's no judgment. It's just a change for me. And what I realized it made me feel a little bit better is we used to just really eat pretty like not processed, pretty like whole ingredients at home, but we went out to eat a lot and we traveled a lot. And we've talked about this on the show before. When you travel and when you eat out, it's fun to just see that as like, that was our indulgence basically. Mm. And then at home we didn't eat that way. Well, we don't travel and we don't eat out anymore. So
this
kind
is
of
like replacing that.
It's like a wash. So instead of my kids getting chicken fingers at a restaurant once a week and like, you know, then traveling and, you know, just having nothing but junk for an entire 10 days in the summer at a time. Instead of that, now we just have bags of frozen corn dogs in the freezer, and we switched from healthy peanut butter to Skippy Natural. And we, so it really, I've just kind of come to embrace this and like almost kind of look at like the pre-COVID Sarah as like, that was a good try. And there's lots of good that came from those kind of standards, but like, this is now a new phase. And like, I'm just leaning into it. Like we just, not only do I have frozen corn dogs in my freezer and like many of them, like enough for a long time, but like we serve them kind of a lot. It's just like, it is just the way things are right now. So COVID made me fill my freezer. Oh, and ice cream bars, like just my garage freezer looks so different than it would have 6 months ago.
How funny. That is like such a funny realization to come through. And my next one was kind of similar. And I didn't even really realize I was doing this until I glanced over at my wine rack thingy the other day and was like, oh, there's a couple bottles of liquor on it. So mine is that I started experimenting with making mixed drinks at home, which I don't do. Like I'm just the way it used to be, I would always just have like a bottle of wine on hand at home. And I would sometimes have a cocktail when I'd go out. So if I was ever going to have a mixed drink, it would be like, I hardly ever would I do that at home unless it was like a party or, you know, someone brought it over. It would just be, I like my glass of Malbec. And then if I go out, maybe I'll order a fun drink off of a menu. Well, I'm not really going out anymore. Yeah. And even the few times I've been out to dinner, it's just been kind of quick. Like you want to get in and out and it just doesn't, it's not the same. It's not like you're sitting at a bar ordering off the, you know, mixologist menu. So I kind of was like, well, maybe I'll mix things up a little bit. This summer, and I started kind of playing around with like tequila drinks and gin drinks and learned to make a pretty mean gimlet. And then also thought, oh, okay, if I'm going to be doing some, you know, occasional pool, you know, just kind of floating in the pool with a drink in my hand, it's nice to kind of be able to make those yourself. They have the canned ones, the canned cocktails, but they tend to be really sweet and a little strong. Like I don't necessarily want to drink something that's like 8% alcohol while I'm floating around the pool at 2 o'clock in the afternoon. So I would just make my own with soda and lime and whatever I had on hand. And I bought some like fancy syrups. I bought like an elderflower syrup and a couple floral syrups, like a rose and something else. And they're just fun. Like you can add stuff and just kind of play bartender. And it's been fun. So
I
that's
love
it.
That. Yeah. Saint Germain is elderflower, right?
Yes, it is.
Okay. Yep. So I really like that. Every time I met in the old days, when I was at a bar with a proper drink menu, anything with that elderflower or Saint Germain, I always like the taste of. So I don't think I have bought it at home, but I like that
idea. It's yummy. And there is a brand, I can't think of it, but maybe we can put it in the show notes because they make... Yeah. They have a really good elderflower syrup, but they also have like an elderflower and rose lemonade that is a fantastic mixer. And it's expensive, but like you don't need a lot of it. And it's really, really very yummy. So
okay, that is right up my alley taste.
I want to say it's like Bavoir or something. It's got kind of a fancy sounding name. So I'll look it up and we can stick it in the show notes.
Well, we talked recently about saving money, and I would say that even if that is a little bit pricey, mixing your own drinks not only allows you to control the strength, like you said, but it's definitely got to be more cost effective than buying pre-made stuff in a can.
Absolutely.
I would think.
Yeah. Okay. I looked it up. It's Belvoir, Belvoir, and it's got kind of a fancy label. You can buy it like at farm markets and things like fancy places, but you can also just buy it online, and it's like $15. For a big bottle. So you can make a lot of cocktails with that. So, yep.
All right. chicken fingers and elderflower lemonade cocktails. I'm not sad about this, actually. Okay, well, one more before the break. And this is something that I have mentioned several times, actually, in our Small Comforts episodes and other times. But I'm going to mention it again because I think it's a permanent change. And that is that COVID made me learn to dye my own hair. And so I used to go to the salon every 5 weeks for a roots touch up. And it was doable because my stylist didn't charge very much for roots only. And it would be quick. You know, she'd do my roots and she'd blow dry my hair. And that was it. I didn't get a cut and I didn't get an all over color. But every 5 weeks was a lot. My kids were in school full time. It was like relatively doable. I really loved my stylist. Like, she and I had a great rapport. Okay, so then COVID, obviously, wasn't going to do that. I learned to do my own roots. I've mentioned on the show the product. I don't even have it in front of me. It'll be in the show notes, and I've mentioned it before. But you used it, too, for your roots.
Yep.
And so the first few times were, like, kind of a project and felt a little awkward. Now I know exactly how to do it. I probably do it more like every 3 to 4 weeks, but I can because it's so inexpensive. It's like $9 for the bottle.
It's really easy.
And it takes, that bottle will last, even for me, because I do quite a bit. Like, I know you can just kind of touch up your temples and your, but I really go through the part of my hair all over the top of my head. And that bottle will still last me 3 times at least. Mm-hmm. So what's funny is now I can see the only part of my head that I haven't been regularly touching up is like under. So if you put your hair up in a high pony, right? The hairs from the base of my neck that would go up into that pony, I can see exactly how long my grays would be. And it's long, like 4 to 5 inches. And so my hair grows pretty fast. But I am so happy with the quality of like how it looks. I think the dark brown color just works with my hair. Like, so this doesn't even feel like a thing that I would change. And now I moved. My mom lives here and has a stylist, so I know who I'd go to. But I really think I will be probably now a twice a year person, like twice a year, maybe some fun lowlights or highlights, an all over color to get those like the underneath ones and a cut. And that's it. So I think COVID made me permanently into a dye my own roots person. And I wasn't even entertaining the possibility before.
So, I love that. And I love that I'm the one that, you know, kicked you over the edge on that. Cause I've long been a dye my own hair person, except for, like you said, like a couple times a year, I'll go get a real highlight job or like, you know, or if I'm just sick of the color or it's starting to look a little brassy, I will get it professionally done. But most of the time I know kind of what color I want it to be within a shade or two. And I think it's called Root Rescue.
Yes. So I just looked up. It's Revlon Root Erase.
Root Erase. Okay.
I've gotten it at Target. I've gotten it on Amazon. There's a bunch of different colors. I'm the dark brown, but I will tell you this, the first time in like the height of the shutdown, all the hair dyes were sold out. So I got the medium brown just because I wanted to practice. And I figured, well, it's just my grays are just going to be a little bit lighter. And even that was fine. So it might be, if you're intimidated by color matching, it might be more forgiving than you think. Cause I was like an entire shade off the first time and I was still happier than having gray roots. Then when I found the dark brown, when the dark brown has been available since then, and it works great. And I really do laugh at the underside. I just get a kick out of like,
maybe
like
you can get Brian to do it for you.
No, I don't want anyone in there with me. It's like my 30 minutes of really indulgent time. So
you don't want Violet in there touching up your hair? No,
I do not. No, me, a podcast and a glass of wine and my Revlon root erase.
I love it. Well, the funny thing is I actually did that this morning and I did my own highlights too. So because I just did a few. So I both covered my roots and highlighted on the same day and it looks great. And it cost me a lot less than usual.
Like $3.
Yep, exactly. All right. Well, my next one is also along the lines of beauty. You know, I have been someone always who keeps my toenails polished, mostly because once you polish your toenails for a long time, you kind of can't stop unless you're willing for them to look really gross. Like they get yellowy. Yeah. And I also dropped a bottle of wine on my toe, 2, 3, 4 years ago, something like that. And now my toenail is very screwed up. So it's best for all of us if I keep my toenails painted. But I have not been someone who switches the color out very much. Like I just leave it. I go get them done maybe, you know, once every month and they usually last a nice long time. And then I would maybe fill in like just kind of go over it when necessary and stuff. But I have painted my toenails a new color every week, no more than 2 weeks for the past 6 months.
Oh, good for you.
And I think I just did it like as a pick me up at first, you know, like in the early COVID days where you would really be like, what am I going to do with myself? Like,
yes,
I'm climbing the walls. I have time. What do I do? And I thought, I don't know. I'm just going to like switch out my toenail color. And then I just got in the habit of doing that every week. And I really have not let more than 2 weeks go by. And it's been fun. Like I have a whole tin full of different nail polishes that I don't really use very often. And it's fun to switch them up. And it's been like a little self-care thing that's been really fun. So I'm enjoying it.
I really love that. And I am the opposite. I almost never have color on my toes unless it's like a fresh pedicure. And I kind of on my feet prefer the look of nothing over like chipped polish.
Yes.
And but I have been thinking recently that that would be a nice pick me up. And I mean, I wear flip flops all summer long.
Yeah.
And I just have naked toes. But I do remember those early in the pandemic when I remember doing like a crazy manicure on my regular nails. Like I never do that because we were just so bored. So,
I know. Yeah, is that when you dressed up in your prom dress and had a
I put on my wedding dress.
Your wedding dress. That's right.
Yeah, I don't think I have any of my prom dresses.
That's so funny.
Yeah, those were very unprecedented times.
Really,
even more than now. Okay, well, let's take a break and then we'll come back and talk about more crazy things COVID made us do.
Sarah, I am just going to come out and admit that I have been kind of the worst about getting my kids to take vitamins over the years. And mostly that's because the ones they wanted to take were full of sugar and other junk I didn't want them to have. And then the cleaner ones tasted kind of bad. So I'd basically have to hide them in peanut butter, you know, like you do with your dog's pills.
Yes, I know. Yes. And I have been similarly lax in giving my kids vitamins because I just didn't want that fight. But that's all changing because of our sponsor, Hiya Health. Hiya is a kid's multivitamin that is made from a blend of 12 farm-fresh fruits and vegetables and then supercharged with 15 essential vitamins and minerals that are known to help support a healthy immune system, energy levels, brain function, mood, teeth, bones, and more. And they actually taste good. No peanut butter required.
I also love that Hiya vitamins come shipped right to your door on a pediatrician-recommended schedule, so it's one less thing to worry about adding to your grocery list. The first shipment comes with a reusable bottle that your kids can decorate with stickers. And then after that, the refills come in a no-plastic refill pouch, which means Hiya isn't just good for your kids, it's also good for the environment. The two dads who came up with Hiya vitamins also somehow managed to make them with zero sugar, non-GMO, vegan, dairy-free, allergy-free, gelatin-free, and nut-free.
We've got a great offer just for listeners of the Mom Hour. We're going to help you get 50% off your first order, half off. To claim this deal, go to HiyaHealth.com/MomHour or enter code MomHour and you'll see that full discount applied at checkout. That's HiyaHealth.com/MomHour to save 50% on your first order of kids' vitamins.
We are welcoming back our longtime partner, Shoot Along, today. Sarah, our listeners love this program.
Yes, they do. Shoot Along is an online photography course for moms who want to use their DSLR camera to take beautiful photos of their kids. I got my first DSLR back in 2012, and it was so intimidating learning to take photos in manual mode, but once I did, it was incredibly rewarding. We all love our smartphone photos, but there's really nothing like having that control over your settings to be able to take great photos in any light or situation.
Right now, Shoot Along is offering two different online courses that you do completely on your own time, at your own pace, no deadlines. Camera Express gives you 10 nuts and bolts lessons to get you comfortable with your DSLR camera and to start moving away from that auto setting, which I know is so tempting for all of us, right? Mm-hmm. And then Editing Express consists of 52 how-to videos showing how to edit and improve your images using Photoshop Elements.
Okay, so if I were you all, I would get both of those courses together. You can get them both for a total of $39.99. Because for me, in my photography learning, taking great pictures and knowing how to edit are so intertwined. They really work together. So I love that you can get those two courses as a bundle.
Yeah, so head to shootalong.com/themomhour to get Camera Express and Editing Express bundled together for just $39.99. Again, that's shootalong.com/themomhour. And scroll down to choose Full Express to get that great deal. Check it out. Okay, Sarah. So we are back to talk about more things that COVID made us do. And I'll go first this time. I am now a naturally early riser.
What?
I know. What? So I don't even know really how COVID made me do this. You would think it would be the opposite, but I, you know, and because I did morning radio for a long time, I used to have to get up early.
Yeah,
but
you've never gone through phases where, yeah. And you've gone through workout routines where you do it. Yeah.
Yep. And I'm not the kind of early riser that you are. I mean, I'm not like a 5 a.m.er, but somehow I have, my body clock has now set itself to where my eyes open around 6:30 every morning naturally, and I feel ready to get up. Now that's different from my eyes open at 6:30 because I have to go get the kids out of bed to get them to school, and I hate my life, and I want to lay back down after they leave and go back to sleep. That's very, very different. And I think it's been a mix. I think it's been a combination of factors. The first thing was right when school closed down, we all went through this kind of shift where it was like, oh, now we can all just sleep till whenever we wake up. So that was what we started doing. Like, we just said, okay, I'm just not going to set an alarm. We don't have, there's no reason to get out of bed early. We'll just get up when we get up. And what I noticed was that somehow by not setting an alarm, my body clock actually like corrected itself earlier.
Interesting.
And I think it's because I wasn't fighting against like the knowledge the alarm was going to go off or like hitting a snooze button. So my, I started to kind of settle into this place where I was naturally waking up between 7 and 7:15, like every day, which is early for me.
Yeah.
Usually I would like on a weekend, I would have naturally slept till 8:30 or 9, and I wasn't anymore. And then the birds started getting me up super early. This house is surrounded by trees and my bedroom is on the second floor. And there's trees like everywhere outside my window. So like the birds' antics, then I got the bird feeder, which was very much a COVID thing.
Yeah.
And in the morning, I would just find myself looking out the window the minute the sun came up, wanting to watch the birds. And so that over the summer gets earlier and earlier. And then I did some outdoors. I did 2 camping trips. And I always wake up early on camping trips because like the sun is in your face and there's nothing else to do. And you're not that comfortable, you know, like wherever you're
there's
sleeping.
Yeah.
It's not your bed. I'm not going to lie around on a like in a cabin bed or on a tent floor for hours. So somehow now it's gotten even more insane, like where I'm waking up between 6 and 6:30, like every day without trying. It's really strange. So I'm not complaining. I really like it. I like being up in the morning. And I think it's just been a combination of factors. And, you know, now that I say that, probably tomorrow I'll sleep till 7:30, but it's just interesting that like I can so easily wake up early without hating it. And I do think that something about the last 6 months, all those different things together has shifted my body clock, which is interesting.
Well, yeah, that is interesting. And you are a rebel and don't like to be told what to do. And I can see how an alarm clock early wake up would be that way. And you've talked about how when you're going to get up early, then the going to bed becomes this like inner monologue of like, I should go to bed, but I don't want to because I don't want anyone to tell me when to go to bed.
Right.
So since this has been a body clock thing, you're probably also more intuitive to when you feel tired at night because it's not like I should go to bed so that I can wake up early. You're just probably more naturally tired and going to bed a little earlier maybe.
Yeah, I think you're right. And let me say this. I also think my rebel tendencies go even beyond that. Like, so even this, like, I don't want to wake up to an alarm clock thing definitely was there before when I have to, I resist it. But on the other hand, the fact that when it went COVID times, everybody was talking about how they could sleep in and like the expectation kind of became that like calendars and routines would go out the window. I almost feel like I went in the other direction and rebelled against that.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's strange. I don't know. My psyche is sometimes a little, mysterious, even to me, but I'm happy with the result. So,
yeah, I love it. Well, this wasn't one of mine, but I will say that I am less of an early riser in the last 6 months than I was before. And I stay up later. Now it's in increments of like an hour. It's not like a total shift, but I have a harder time waking up early and I do stay up more like till 10 instead of 9. So I guess it's shifted mine too. Okay. My real next one is another silly purchase. And I will say that this is a confluence of events. COVID made me do it, which was to pick up my entire family and move. And moving into a new house made me into a little bit of a crazy organizing labeling lady. Because first of all, we're all home. We're home all the time. And all of the children are using all of the things. Like, it's almost like I really had an opportunity to set up this new house with a clean slate, which you get to do every time you move. And that's kind of one of the fun parts of moving. But moving in COVID times also just means I knew coming into this house in July, we were all going to be in it a lot. Whereas my old house maybe was set up that way because the kids were younger when we moved there, but it wasn't ever intentionally set up for like five humans to spend their entire days in it for months on end. Whereas I was able to set this house up that way. And so the crazy thing COVID made me do by way of moving was purchase a laminator. I have never owned a laminator.
You're such a nerd.
I'm such a nerd.
I love it.
And while I'm very organized in my brain and I'm very like type A and particular about things in my brain, sometimes my outer environment doesn't always reflect that. Like I am not someone with perfectly folded towel linen closets or who needs to have a tidy house at all times. I have my spheres where I like that. But if you looked at my house, you wouldn't necessarily see the Sarah that you think you know because I'm like super type A about other things. But a laminator is an amazing thing. It's smaller than I thought. So when I pictured laminating, I pictured teachers and schools or like major office, like when I used to work in the corporate world and we'd make big binders or big presentation materials. So I actually didn't know that for like $28, you can just buy a little laminator. And it's like, it kind of reminds me of like a double wide three hole punch. Like if you picture what a three hole punch looks like and you slide, you know, you punch your paper, it's bigger than that, but it's not that much bigger than that. It's not, it doesn't cover a whole table surface or something. I don't know what I thought it would be shaped like, but
yeah,
it's very manageable. And then it came with the laminating sheets, which are like, so if you've never seen this done, it's just like a pocket folder, like a clear pocket folder, basically. You put your thing in and then you slide it through. It's really easy. And my main laminating project were these baskets in our playroom, rec room. We have these bookshelves and I had baskets on them, but it's all of the kids. It's the kids' stuff that they still use, art supplies and like coding kits and all this stuff. And I knew that if only I knew where stuff went, they wouldn't put it away. But if it was labeled, they might stand a chance of knowing where things went, knowing where, you know, like when you move into a new house, it's like, Mom, where do we keep the Play-Doh now? And so all three of my kids can read, which is another like major step, because if you're labeling everything and your kids are tiny, you're still the only one, you and your co-parent, if they, you know, are into your labeling. But everybody in my house can read, which means like they can look at that set of shelves and be like, oh, here's the Play-Doh. And I can also enforce putting away more easily. And so, yeah, I bought a laminator, made some cute labels. I'll put a picture in the show notes. I shared some of this when I interviewed Mandy Yang a couple weeks ago, but I can put a picture in the show notes. And the laminating is actually fun. So COVID made me move and moving made me buy a laminator.
I love it. I actually am a little bit jealous of your laminator because I just think it'd be like so fun. I love having little posters to like draw on and stuff, and or like to be able to kind of make my own versions of things. Cause you know how like that calendar you choose online or whatever is never quite what you want it to be. Like the dry erase thing, it never has quite the right number of spots on it, or like the lines aren't where you want them. So I kind of love the idea of being having control of that.
Clara
kind of thing.
Would love the laminator too.
My
She'd
gosh.
Be laminating everything.
She'd be a laminating fool.
That's the other thing with the kids is their complicated Zoom school schedules. That was the first thing. So the first project was the labeling for the bins, but then school started, and like the second big thing that was so easy was just their daily schedule. Laminating that. And then it turns into this kind of card that I can keep on the kitchen counter, or I keep one of them right on the kids' workspace. And if it's a regular piece of paper, it's much more likely to get drawn on or stepped on or tossed. I mean, I'm guilty of throwing things in recycling and then being like, oh, wait, I should have kept that out. I still need that. So having it laminated makes it this like permanent thing. And then when Allegra started, I made one where it's like everybody's schedule on a two-sided thing. So it's like the family master schedule. I love it.
I love it. Okay. So my next thing is that I have a huge backlog of stuff in my house now that needs to be returned. And I mean, like, it's kind of embarrassing. A lot of different things led to this. One was that we just bought more stuff online.
Yeah.
You know, like COVID made us all buy everything on the internet. And COVID made me buy weird things on the internet that I had never bought on the internet before and really didn't know how to buy on the internet. And then it also made me experiment with some brands and stores and things that now I kind of regret. And then COVID also made us not want to leave our houses.
Yeah.
So I also am one of those people with a permanently broken printer. Like, my printer luck is so terrible. It doesn't matter, like, how new the printer is. Something's always wrong. It's out of ink when it shouldn't be, or I can't get it to communicate with my computer or whatever. So I wouldn't be able to, like, print the return labels to send it from my house. Plus, I don't have postage here. So really, I would have to take it somewhere. And there was a long time people just weren't really doing that. I mean, now it wouldn't feel like such a big deal for me to go to the UPS store and send the stuff back, but it's become kind of out of hand. And some of it, I've just missed the window. Like, I bought an entire house worth of light bulbs in May, I think. Like, I had the kids go through. Remember, I had that big day where I just cleaned and cleaned and cleaned for like 24 hours. I had the kids go through and take out every burned out light bulb in the house. And then I went online and bought all new light bulbs. I bought all the wrong ones. Like, they're all wrong. And so they've been sitting since May. No, I'm not taking those back now. Like, I bought these, what I thought were little floodlight shaped ones for my kitchen. They're like recessed. And I bought these huge floodlights. So I can't return them. I don't know what to do with them. I've got a couple, like, I've got some clothes. I've just got, oh my gosh, a lot of stuff that I don't know what
to
do with.
Let's combine Tuesday's episode about saving money and this problem. And why don't you list a few of these things on Facebook Marketplace to sell, not to make like a huge profit, but more to get them out of your life.
Out
we had
of the
a
house.
Listeners
yeah.
Yeah, say this in the Facebook group, because I've always kind of wondered, why do people list things for like $10? Like, what's the point? And her point was, if it solves a Holloway issue for you, like you'd rather not throw this thing away and you don't actually know how to get it out of your life, then selling it for $10 or $20 is not so much about the profit, but just like, it's better than throwing it away.
Yeah, true.
So that could be, especially I'm thinking of light bulbs, like, I don't know. I feel like that could be something for resale or in one of those like buy nothing groups where people are just trading and swapping.
Yep.
I wish I could come be your Sherpa, because this is like an area that my skills shine. I feel anxious when I don't return stuff. Like, it makes me stressed out to have it hanging out there. So I would just take care of it for you. I would take it to the UPS store, or I would donate it. I would just get it out of your life.
Oh, well, gosh, I wish you were here to do that for me. I'll come up with a solution. It's silly at this point. And honestly, probably just having like one box where I combine it all is the first step. And then going through, like, all I need to do is set aside an hour, go through, figure out what can be returned, what can't. I think Facebook Marketplace is a great idea. You know, I just have to put that on my calendar and do it. So,
yeah, you'll feel good. It'll feel like a weight lifted off. Okay. Well, my next one is like kind of a bummer, but I'll just say it anyway. And it's definitely COVID related. And that is that COVID has really ramped up my own health anxiety. And I don't use the term hypochondriac lightly, but I also don't use it clinically. It's not something I've ever been diagnosed with, but I'll just use it because that's what we all associate with, like worrying about your own health and like making small things into potentially big things. And that is always something I've been prone to, but it used to be at a very like low level, or it would be like a moment where I let myself like, you know, go down a mental rabbit hole of like, oh my gosh, this must be a brain tumor. But it wasn't like a constant presence in my life. And I know that people can relate to this, because in the time of COVID, we've been reading about healthcare and immunity and, you know, symptoms. And then we talk to people and we hear stories of things. And so it's not surprising. It's in fact, very, like, very predictable, like very cliche almost, but it is for sure COVID related. And yeah, it just, we don't even go anywhere. So my family hasn't even picked up like colds and that kind of thing. But, I just find any little symptom for myself, but also my kids, like and it's not all COVID. Like, I don't always think I have COVID. Sometimes I think I have a brain tumor, or I have like, you know, early stage multiple sclerosis or whatever. Like, and I didn't used to be that way. I mean, I did, but I didn't to this degree. So it really kind of sucks. It's the kind of thing that probably like some good therapy tactics. I'm sure there are very specific like behavioral therapy things that therapists do with people like me. So that is something that I'm willing to look into. Cause my old trick up my sleeve was that I would actually just go to the doctor if I was worried about something. So I make a very good healthcare patient, because I would just make an appointment to go get something checked out, because it was the thing that relieved my anxiety the most. But you can't do that as easily in the time of COVID. And you can't do it every day. Like,
right.
You can't do it like every week. So yeah, not so much fun, but just that I would share it because I'm sure I'm not alone.
Well, I almost feel like, could you even help it these days? I mean, it just feels like, I mean, we're all now surrounded by, we're bathing in medical anxiety all the time right now. And even for someone like me, who's definitely not, I'm not even close to that. It has brought out certain tendencies that I didn't even have before.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Yeah. Even my husband, who also is like you, like not anxious at all. In the early days, like one of us would have a day where like we'd look at each other and we'd know like, oh my gosh, you think you have COVID, don't you?
Right.
And,
yes.
And I would just empathize with you. And I remember you having like a day or two like that too. So even those among us who aren't normally like that have experienced it. But yeah, it sucks. So COVID, thanks for that, COVID.
Thanks, COVID. Well, I'll end with mine with a quick kind of lighter one. And that is that last week I wore shoes with a heel, like a little wedge heel. And realized, first of all, it was the first time I had busted any even remotely nice clothes out the whole summer. I've only been wearing like sandals and tennies all for the last, and boots, I guess, if we go back to April, for 6 months. And COVID really made me change the way I dress. I went through my closet and realized there were things I never got around to wearing this year.
Yeah.
Like that I've been just living in this uniform of like outdoorsy and or home sloppy clothes. Even the few times I've been out, I feel like I've still dressed down because I'm so not used to dressing up and it feels weird. Like no one's doing that. It's just, everything about my wardrobe situation has been very different over the last 6 months and COVID made us all do it.
Did.
Yeah.
Dang you, COVID. Well, and I can finish on a quick one too. And this is hopefully, we'll finish on an uplifting note because I think this is a COVID made me do it, but I'm getting back on track. And that is COVID made me stop reading ever at all. Like I just stopped. I continued. I was on such a good track of reading. I was reading like 4 books a month in the first part of the year. And even through April, I was still reading. And then like May on, I stopped getting up early, was staying up later, wasn't getting up before the kids, wasn't reading. And then we all know what it's like when you're not reading, you just get out of the habit.
Yeah.
And then we moved. So I do feel like I am back on track for the most part, getting up a little bit earlier. I read I'm Still Here by Austin Channing Brown, and I am reading The Dutch House by Ann Patchett. And I have a library card here locally now, and I have a few books in the queue. I would say it's a tenuous back on track because I don't feel like it's a fully solidified routine yet, but it feels good to be reading and I just let it go. Like when I wasn't reading and people would recommend a book or I was seeing these book lists online, I'm like, nope, I don't read right now. And that's how I've always been. I've gone through seasons of my life where I'm like, no, I don't, I'm not going to feel guilty about it. I just literally don't read books. And then I know that I will one day read books again. So I think I'm on the precipice of getting back on track.
Well, that's a good reminder that sometimes it's just the right time or season of life to let something go and not feel bad about it because it will come back around. And I know in early motherhood, that was really hard for me. Like some of the things that I felt like were part of my identity, reading was definitely one of them, or listening to new music or whatever it was. And just having to go, nope, I'm not making time for that right now because, you know, you have many other years to get back to it. So COVID made us remember that.
Well,
this has been really fun. I am so glad to be back with More Than Moms. We will be now doing this again, everyone. So, you know, and one of the things we really want is to hear from you with questions about anything. Ask us anything. Email us the questions to hello@themomhour.com. And we may answer your question. I don't know.
And we won't be mad if we don't like your question. We just may not answer it. We may be like, so also because this is Sunday, you get a brand new episode in just 2 days because our Tuesday episodes don't go anywhere. And we're really excited about this Tuesday's episode. We're going to be talking about strategies for how to recover when you kind of lose your, you know what, when you lose it with your kids or lose your cool.
Just lose it in general. We're all doing that right now to some degree.
COVID made us do that too. Lose our minds over and over again. So that'll be out Tuesday. So look for that and we will talk to you then.